Good morning, Tony.
How are you?
Just enjoying a little bit of sun that we've had recently.
Taking off the wet weather gear then.
Oh, glory, hallelujah. It has been, it really has been bad, hasn't it?
It's not been the driest of springs, no. Has it? In fact, spring seems to have almost disappeared and we've almost jumped spring and gone straight into summer because it's quite beautiful at the moment.
Oh, it is. It's, and everything is coming up. And my garden has loads of foxgloves and all sorts of things in there. I must send you a photograph of my garden, actually, for you to have a look at.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the other thing really is that because it's been so wet, you've been sort of saying to people, slow down a bit. You can actually plant it a little bit later. So,
exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
There's going to be a mix of things going on this month, isn't there, really, with catching up with planting, I would have thought.
Yeah, lots of things, funnily enough, are a little more forward than I'd anticipated because I've got a cold greenhouse. I've got my tomatoes planted in there and I don't have them up bamboo canes or anything like that. I string them up to the ceiling. And I've got flowers on one of them and I've got a new variety, which I'm really quite excited about. And now then, do you say Rapunzel or do you say Rapunzel?
Rapunzel.
Right.
Mm, that's what I would say anyway.
Yeah, well, I've always said Rapunzel, but it doesn't matter, does it?
You're posh.
Yeah. That's the one that's got the flowers on it. And apparently it can have up to 40 little fruits on one truss. So I'm quite interested to see how it's going to grow. I had it given to me.
Wow.
Really lovely.
That'd be interesting to see, won't it? Primroses is another thing that's coming to the fore at the moment. Things you've got to do with primroses.
Oh, yes, because the primroses this year were absolutely fabulous. But if you've got great big clumps, Tony, they do need dividing up. What happens with that? They actually rejuvenate. And so all you do is lift them out of the ground, separate them out by hand and repot them or replant them.
Mm.
So really, they really are quite good. They need to be spaced out a little bit if you can.
Yeah.
Round about, I suppose, 15 centimetres.
Yep.
Yeah. Water them in and let them settle down.
Yeah, of course, because of all of the rain and the lack of sunshine, I'm guessing that a lot of plants or things that would have perhaps flowered a month or so earlier are now beginning to do so.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, clematis is now coming out and it's really looking fabulous. And what else have I got? As I say, foxgloves. One actually came out and it's got like, the only way I can describe it is like toothed petals.
Yeah.
So the petal comes out, you know, where the bee goes in.
Yeah.
The lip underneath it has got four little points on it. I've never seen anything like it before, and I've shared it around with some colleagues, and they've never seen anything like it either. So I'm going to save the seed, and hopefully it'll come back. You know,
trusting to be in your garden, eh? Misbehaving plants, there you go. nothing like it, is there, really?
No.
The other things we need to catch up with is, how tending to our fruits that are beginning to grow.
Yeah, feed, because the currants, particularly those in my allotment, are looking really good. I've got loads of gooseberries, but they do need that extra boost now just to give them a bit of a feed.
They're ridiculously hardy, aren't they? We've got one in our garden. We had our garden sorted out a couple of years ago, and some of the bushes got cut really back. And one of them was this bush with that kind of fruit on it. And we thought it had gone, but this year it's beginning to bloom again.
It's looking good. I mean, I've got a thornless one, which is fruiting for the first time this year.
Yeah.
Which I'm quite pleased about. And it's also a pink gooseberry as well.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to see some of these things come back and you think, I don't remember putting that in the ground, but there you go. It comes back at you every once in a while.
Yeah,
takes me back to my childhood of when we all had our own little section of garden, and you grew lavender. When you grew up, you realised you shouldn't have done that because the stuff spreads everywhere. And there was a rose as well, which came back year after year after year. Unbelievably hardy things. If you want to fill your garden with something. Roses are quite nice because don't need a lot of work. Just cut them back every once in a while and they'll pop back at you. But I digress there a little bit. We really should be talking about beans and things.
Yes, I planted my beans, funnily enough, this morning. It is a little bit early, but I've tied them in.
Yeah.
And the thing to remember, of course, is slugs and snails, because once you get the beans out, they will home in like a McDonald's takeaway. So you do need to be careful. I use sheep's fleece, which is pelleted.
Yeah.
And I use that around them, and so far they've been okay. If it's in your own garden, it's easy enough to sort of keep an eye on.
Mm.
But when you've got an allotment, which is just down the road, it's not quite so easy. So I put sheep's fleece around it, and it forms like a sort of a woolly mat around the base of the bean. And then they don't like going over it. So hopefully, next time I go to the allotment, I will find beans growing up poles rather than anything else.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's quite a kind thing, really, because nobody wants to sort of remove the natural, the natural beings of the garden from the garden simply because they're eating your plants.
Yeah.
You want to find ways to stop them from eating the plants, don't you?
And I know.
I'm guessing what you've suggested there is really quite a nice idea. What? Just go through that again. What actually is it? You called it sheep fleece.
Sheep's fleece. It's the fleece from a sheep that's
right.
been granulated.
Oh.
And you buy it in a bag.
Yeah.
And scatter it around, so it's pelleted.
Yeah.
And there's several. There's slug gone. Vitax do one, which is quite good. And that's what I've been trying out, different ones this year to see what I can do. I'm not very keen on putting down slug pellets.
No.
Because those blue ones are really quite horrible. But the thing is, people tend to put too many down, Tony. That's the snag. You really need one here and one there, not a great sea of blue in a circle around them. So that's what you see.
It's always interesting to see the different ways that people deal with the insects and the little critters that actually affect your plants.
Yeah.
And that, and really with the loss that we have of insects already, I would have thought the thing to do would be to find ways that don't kill these things anymore and actually just stop them from eating the things that are in your garden. But the problem is, what do they then go and eat?
Somebody
else's bean. That's not really the answer, though, is it?
It isn't really. But, I mean, when I do a talk, I always say, hands up to everybody who catches the snails and throws them over next door's garden. And you'd be surprised at the number of hands that go up in the air. Really, they just collect them up and then they shove them over next door's garden. But they come back. Honestly, they do. They really do come back. They're like homing slugs and homing snails, really. Slugs are a bit of a different matter. My Border Terrier used to love it when I put down a beer trap.
Yeah.
Because that stops the slugs straight away. They go straight for the beer.
Hmm.
Unfortunately,
does the dog.
Yeah, he would like to drink the beer, but he'd also eat the slugs as well.
Oh.
And that's horrible because slugs carry a heartworm, which is fatal for dogs.
Hmm. Yeah, so don't let your dogs eat the slugs.
So you need to be very careful. Yeah, you need to be careful.
Yeah, so look after the slugs, get sheep pellets. They're available generally, are they?
Oh, absolutely. Almost everywhere.
So I've not heard of that, but it sounds like a really, really good idea.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's called slug gone or slug away, something like that.
Sheep pellets, slug gone. Okay.
Yeah. And of course, there are all sort of biological controls as well. A little bit more expensive, but effective. And what happens with that is that the biological control for slugs, particularly, is an eelworm, and it's minute, and it burrows into the slug and infects the slug with a bacteria, and the slug dies.
Mm.
But that means that if a robin picks the slug up to eat it, it doesn't hurt it.
Mm. Okay. Now, question for you, because this one's just come at me. Chelsea Chop and a Hampton Hack, what's the difference?
Ah.
What's the difference?
Well, Chelsea's now, isn't it? So this is the time when Chelsea comes up. If you've got herbaceous perennials in your garden, like penstemons or something like that, that this is the time now to prune them back. You've left them on over the winter to protect the new growth that's coming up from underneath. But now is the time to take that last year's growth off and encourage the plant to reform all those new shoots.
All right. Okay.
Right, so that's the Chelsea chop.
Right, what's the Hampton hack?
Well, the Hampton hack comes in July, doesn't it? Hampton Court flower show. Right, as in Chelsea flower show. And that's when all those things like penstemons or any other plants like that that have flowered, those are the ones that you chop back as well.
Oh.
So you prune those back. So Hampton hack, Chelsea chop first. Hampton hack later.
Ah, right. So we're after flower shows there, really. I'm looking at the Royal Horticultural Society website. And here's something that I just spotted, literally, because it ties in with what we were talking about when we were talking about sheet pellets. And projects for your garden. This is one of those little things that actually could be quite interesting. It says, creating a border to attract wildlife. Now, we were talking about where do you put the where do the slugs go if they can't get, because you don't want them eating your vegetables and stuff. But it's not quite so bad if they try and dine out on some of your plants. But would a border kind of work?
A border would work, yes. And it's quite good, actually, particularly if you grow veg now, because loads of people on our allotment site are now doing a little wildflower patch. Because that then encourages the bees to come in, and then the bees will pollinate your beans at the same time. So, yeah, really good idea.
How is it how is it with the bees at the moment? Because
I'm seeing loads at the moment.
Oh, I'm glad you are, because the only place I've seen them is on Jeremy Clarkson on his TV program, where he's got these beehives. There's rows and rows of them. He seems to be he's got almost a monopoly on all the bees that are out there at the moment making honey. But they're okay, are they? They're thriving again?
They're absolutely fine. I've got loads that are in my foxgloves. I've got a plant called an echium, which is in my greenhouse at the moment because it's too big for me to cart out at the moment. And it's absolutely covered in bright blue flowers, and the bees are in there all the time, which I'm happy about because, of course, they'll pollinate my tomatoes at the same time.
Yeah.
And growing up, so perhaps if you're thinking about something like climbing beans or something, you know, French beans, climbing French beans, runner beans, plant a sweet pea at the side of them because the sweet pea will climb at the same time, and then that will attract in the bees, which will then pollinate your beans.
Handy hint number 34 from Jean Griffin. plant some sweet peas alongside other things that grow. One of the things you've mentioned from time to time is your greenhouse. Now, during the winter, it's a case of how do you keep it warm? But greenhouses are made of glass, so it's an altogether different prospect in the summer when they can get really, really hot. And we all know what can happen with things when they get too hot. They can scorch. How do you stop that?
Well, there are two things you can do. You can either, pay the money and get shading put onto your greenhouse. I don't. I've got some stuff called Summer Cloud, which is like a whitewash.
Mm-hmm.
And you mix it up and you paint it on with a brush.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I use
is this on the outside or on the inside?
This is on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then when you need to have it, you can just wash it off.
Mm. That's a bit like people used to put on their windows when they were decorating, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, God, that takes me back a few years.
Yeah, it just gives me away as well, really, but there you go.
Do people still do that?
I haven't. No, I think they use newspapers now. Anyway, that actually stops the scorch, does it?
Yes, definitely. And it cools the greenhouse down.
It does.
Now, I've got a gravel path in my greenhouse, and I water that every day. I sprinkle it all over.
Mm-hmm.
Once you put water on it, it lowers the temperature by at least 1 to 2 degrees straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But it also raises the humidity. So
which gives you the moisture in the greenhouse, doesn't it?
Exactly. But also, moisture in the greenhouse cuts down the risk of having red spider mite. Because red spider mite grows and proliferates madly if it's very dry and it's very warm. So if you can keep the moisture level up by dampening down all the time without flooding the place with water, then, you know, you're on a good thing, aren't you?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, so I have very little experience of a greenhouse, but all I do know is that when sun shines through glass, it gets hot.
Yeah.
And it was just a case of that there are so many things that grow in a greenhouse that you don't want them to burn, because I would guess it becomes a bit like an oven if you're not careful.
Well, it does. I've got self-opening windows on mine, and those are very easy, and you just fit them, and they're oil-filled, so when the oil expands with the heat, so the window opens.
Oh, this is very classy. That's very, very classy, that.
It's very cheap as well.
Very cheap? Mm. I don't think so.
They're not expensive at all,
Okay. Honestly.
They're really not. So,
well, go on.
I know, I was just going to say really what you've got to look at is look ahead, actually. The greenhouse door is nearly always open during the day anyway, but I at the moment I'm still closing it at night.
Yeah, so. Well, that keeps the foxes out anyway, doesn't it? If you've got foxes that decide to visit your garden, because apart from depositing all sorts of things that are very, very unpleasant, they also manage to trample things and eat things, don't they?
Exactly, yes. Like my garlic. I've got giant garlic on my allotment, and it has been eaten in half. Only the top. I mean, the bulb will be okay underneath. I'm not bothered about that. But, I mean, they just bite it in half and just drop it.
Yeah, no point to it at all, is there? It's a bit
absolutely
like they do with chickens sometimes. They
kill
them just they kill them for sport, but
that's a
conversation for another day, I think, foxes and agriculture and growing things in the garden. Jean, we've run out of time. Where does it go? We've come a long way from sheep's pellets to greenhouses, all by the way of a difference between the Chelsea Chop and the Hampton Hack. It's been a good month. Jean Griffin, for now, thank you for talking to us.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.